When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that definitely did not pee on the governor.
I mean, proof we did.
Exactly. Like unicorns, prove that it's there.
I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today,
we're going
to
talk about
my favorite place.
Your closet? the closet, being in the closet.
We're going to talk about the closet.
Why is the closet the place, the metaphor that we chose?
Yeah, why are there people in the closet?
Yeah, like, who
put them there?
It's like the Keebler elves for gayness. But first. News?
Sure, yeah, news.
Yeah.
News?
News. News.
Okay, news. Some news. Some news things.
Okay.
I have some.
That's what the segment is, that's good.
I figure if I keep talking about Pete Buttigieg, that like people will get tired of it. Or he'll turn straight. Or
if you say his name three times.
He just said, he's gay. He's running for president. So when I'm coming up with like gay news stories, that's, you know, he's up there.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't know if he should be.
Something new happen?
The gay newsosphere is pretty, you know,
Pete heavy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's Pete heavy. We're not helping. It's like a fine scotch. It's Pete heavy.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, yeah. Scotch drinkers got it.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so
they don't listen to this.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, so Mayor Pete was on TV the other day, and he did a CNN town hall on Tuesday, I guess. And they were asking about how Rush Limbaugh says that America's not ready for a gay president. Mm-hmm. And he said he envisioned Democrats concluding that, quote, despite all the great wokeness and despite all the great ground that's been covered, that America's still not ready to elect a gay guy kissing his husband on the debate stage president.
That's Rush.
That's Rush. And of course, Donald Trump gave him the Presidential Medal of Freedom Honor or whatever the fuck it is. And so Mayor Pete's retort was, quote, the idea that the likes of Rush Limbaugh or Donald Trump lecturing anybody on family values. One thing about my marriage is it's never involved me having to send hush money to a porn star. And he's super right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why fucking straight people, the fact that religious people think that marriage is sacred and it's this inviolable institution that straight people are amazing at
and gay people
are fucking it up is just ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. It's your friend that got an F in math, like, yelling at you for getting a B. Like, no, you don't get to do that. You get to sit quietly while I figure out what I did wrong.
Yeah.
Also, I might unfortunately agree with Rush Limbaugh. I don't know if the U.S. is ready for a gay president.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure either, but he needs to shut his goddamn whore mouth.
I mean, yeah.
He's, that's for us to say and him to find out.
Sure.
Yeah. One thing about my marriage is it's never involved me to send hush money to a porn star.
Yeah, that's good.
That's fucking great.
Yeah.
I want that on a bumper sticker. And also, like, Mayor Pete's growing some balls, too. Like, he's always so, like, smiley and, like, innocent looking or something. And so for him to, like, come out swinging is pretty great.
Yeah. Maybe I wonder if his polls say that he has to.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Swinging that dick. Okay. And then I was checking up on News the Second.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I was checking up on Aaron Salazar.
Oh, yeah.
And his recovery, just because I do every like few months or so. And his page on Facebook is a flutter about a January 1st story that a body found by railroad workers is thought to be an Amtrak passenger. So the Siskiyou County Sheriff's Office is continuing its investigation into the suspicious death of a man located on December 26th after deputies received a call at 9:10 a.m. reporting a possible dead body lying near railroad tracks about 0.3 mile east of the Andesite Railroad crossing near Military Pass Road, a rural area of Siskiyou County near U.S. 97, 32 miles southeast of Eureka and east of Weed, California. Weed.
Between Eureka and Weed?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
Anyway, yeah. So then, like, they got a call from railroad authorities, and the man had sustained head injuries, and investigators have reason to believe he was a passenger on a southbound train prior to his death. And yeah, the Amtrak Police Department's not being super helpful.
That's surprising.
That's surprising. You're taking your life into your own hands, writing on Amtrak.
Is there an Amtrak serial killer out there?
Maybe. It's the same location, too, right? Like, that's approximately where Aaron Salazar was attacked.
Hmm. Man, that'd explain why they're being so hush-hush and not investigating well if they don't want that news to get out there.
Yeah.
Or it's the start of my new novel.
Are you doing research for a novel and you're killing people on Amtrak?
Yes. It's going to be so realistic.
Yeah.
It's like going to be like Crime and Punishment, but a reality show.
You got to really just know what it feels like to shove a person through a window before you can write about it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. This is not the right segment to be talking about this in.
Okay.
I hope they find if there is one. Just cooperate is the thing. Like, just be good. What we saw last time we've talked about thoroughly about this, they just are really bad at investigating and cooperating and basic
being human beings.
Like this guy looks like he committed suicide. That's impossible. So yeah, get your shit together, Amtrak. There's a serial killer on the loose.
Get your shit together, Amtrak. News the last.
Yeah.
So Nicholas Meriwether is a professor of religious philosophy at Shawnee State University in Ohio.
He's not a boxer.
Nicholas Meriwether. That's the MMA fighter.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe. I think that's the same guy. I don't even think they're related.
You don't know.
Maybe. He's a professor of religious philosophy at Shawnee State University in Ohio, which is a public school. He said that
the way you looked at me makes that seem important.
Yeah, he filed a lawsuit and said in that complaint that a transgender student asked him to refer to her with she pronouns and signifiers ma'am instead of sir and Ms. instead of mister. Instead of complying, he chose to call her by her last name only. He got an informal warning and written warning for violating the school's non-discrimination policy. He argued, though, that as a Christian, it was his sincerely held religious belief based on the Bible's teachings that God created human beings as either male or female, that this gender is fixed in each person from the moment of conception, and that it cannot be changed. Anyway, a federal trial court just dismissed his claim, saying that misgendering others is not free speech protected by the First Amendment, and his other claims did not have merit.
That's amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
Does the Bible claim that people are immutable in their gender and never since conception they have to be the same thing and it never changes? Is that one of the passages?
Okay, so here's the thing. You're touching on the omniscience and ubiquity of God. And the thing is, the argument goes, the Bible does have this whole passage about, like, he knew you before you were formed in the womb because he knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then he also fucking knew that you were trans.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why there's this specialness placed on the moment of conception in the eyes of Christianity when, yeah, God knows a lot of things. Yeah. Knowing things about who you were while you were in the womb. They use the same argument against abortion, right? That, like, God knew who you were before you were in the womb, so killing you then is murder because he knows you. But he also knew that you were going to get fucking aborted, so, like, let's all get over it.
Yeah.
Why are you so stupid?
Yeah. Also, the things he says are scientifically wrong.
Well, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm glad he got his shit shut down.
In belief or non-belief in a guy in the sky that knows everything and everybody and is everywhere and is all powerful, belief or non-belief in that is not a good reason to make policy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a good reason to be an asshole. Like, yeah.
Yeah. My stories today were very stereotypical.
Well, but that one went the right way.
It went the right way.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah. Unlike gay people.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank everyone who supports us, including Patreon members David.
Not especially. But including.
Amongst those thanked.
Just drinking a big head about this. People having your name said because you're an equal among a crowd.
Yes.
But you're special.
But you're special-ish. David Shields, coming soon to NCIS. David Shields.
Oh, God.
He's fighting the railroad serial killer.
Is there like in the porn version of his life, is it a sci-fi flick and you can say Shields up?
Okay. Thomas
I'm
B.
I'm very tired today.
That's good. I like it. Thomas B. Thomas B. supporting us on
Thomas B. Amazing.
And Paul Clark.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul Clark.
Thank you, Paul Clark.
I didn't say David Shields just has such a cool name that I feel like Paul Clark might get the last A to the back end. What?
No, he gets the full eight.
I don't know. Thank you to everyone. We appreciate you. If you want bonus contents, bonus segment, if you want more of this, because why wouldn't you, go to patreon.com/gayishpodcast.
Yeah. Do it now.
Now. Do you want to talk about the closet?
Let's talk about the closet.
Okay.
I've still, like, some total of my life have been in it far longer than I've been out of it.
Huh. How have I... Me too.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. Great. I blew Kyle's mind. This has been gayish.
That's a long... Okay. It's going to be a while until I get there.
Yeah. You're closer than me. We should have a celebration.
Oh, like you've now reached more than half your life of being out gay?
Yeah. I'll be in my 60s.
Oh, I'll be in my 40s.
Oh, God.
I just want another party.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
One of the things is being in the closet is something that sounds way easier than it really is. Like, it sounds like a simple concept. You're either in, you're out. But that's not really how it is.
Right.
Because out to some people. You can be out to yourself. You can be out to your friends. You can be out to your family. So, like, what line is in the closet? There's some people that say, like, I don't talk about it. I just do what I want. So, like, even if you're out there... If you're a dude, fucking dudes and living your gay life, but you never say I am gay to anyone, like, are you out? Like, what's, you know, it's a weird, not easy line.
Have you ever met those people that are like super closeted, but they pretend they're not because they don't talk about it, but like they don't talk about it because they're closeted?
Yes. Like, yes. That,
great. You're very brave for not saying that thing.
Most of those people, I presume, are people that don't want to talk about it and just say, well, it's not the central part of who I am, or I don't need to make it a big deal. Or it's like, but also if you never talk about it, that is making it into its own big deal. That, because I don't talk often about how I have like blue eyes, but it comes up every now and then and I'll be like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if they're actually like more hazily. They look like happiness reflected back.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a new color.
Happiness?
I call it schmed.
It's light happiness.
I guess in the episode about talking about the closet, you came out when you were 30?
30.
I came out when I was 20.
Yep.
So
I was 29. I came out to a bunch of people so that I could say that I did it before I turned 30. It was like the week before my 30th.
Oh my God. You actually thought about that? Like, I wanted, why was that cutoff important?
Because, I don't know, cause speed limit birthdays make you think about shit, and I was thinking about
shit. Speed limit birthdays?
Yeah. You never heard it called that before?
No. Yeah. I mean, the fives?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speed limit birthdays.
Speed limit birthdays. I like that. But they get you thinking.
Yeah.
And I was thinking.
Yeah.
And I was like, the fuck this, I'm going to change this shit. So, I came out to one bald Dan and another fraternity brother. Leading up to my 30th birthday.
That's kind of cool. So you came out in your 20s.
Yeah, but...
So did I. Nope. Technically. The first time I said it to another human, like, in person, was the dude I had been... Like, my roommate, who I had been sleeping with.
Yeah.
And, like...
Was it news to him?
Well, I mean, he stayed in the closet after that. Like, for a while after that. Yeah. So, like...
But is out now?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's just so weird that this is another weird thing about the closet. Like, you can be, like, having sex with another dude. You can be inside someone and you're like, I'm straight. Doop-a-doop-a-doo. Like, you could just, the power of denial and, like, and it's different to sleep with someone versus tell them. It was, like, I was, like, crying when I said I'm gay to this guy whose cum I had swallowed. Like, you know, it's just, like, it's so weird. It's so weird.
Yeah. I mean, the closet's a weird place. It makes you say and do weird shit.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's yourself, but like with a little more armor. So it's still kind of you, but you're not always the one in the driver's seat. Like, it's, that sounds like a weird Transformers spinoff starring David Shields. I wasn't always in the driver's seat and I got this extra armor.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a datum.
A datum.
This
a gatum.
Is a gatum. Mm-hmm. That's true. This is from the journal PLOS One. I don't know what that means. Came out last year, June 13, 2019.
Sounds kind of gay. Or German. Is it gay German?
These people are Yale School of Public Health. And, although the people, Dr. John Panchenenkis and Richard Bronstrom. He has like dots, lots of dots over various letters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, slash to the O probably. Some,
no, just a little squiggly. Oh no, two dots.
Umlaut.
Two dots over the A and the O. Bronstrom.
Okay, good.
And they did a study about, don't look at me like that.
It's fine.
They did a study to try to estimate how many people are in the closet worldwide.
Weird.
So what?
Work on AIDS, people. Work on curing AIDS and cancer.
No, this is important. Yeah, what percentage of the world's queer people do you think are in the closet?
Well, all of them in Iran or whatever.
Probs.
Right.
Well, I mean, they're either in the closet or dead.
Right. Yeah. Same in Russia.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I do think it's probably, if this is a worldwide number, it is probably much higher than it is in like Western liberal democracies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Say something.
What percentage of queer people are in the closet worldwide?
Yes.
85%.
Damn, it's 83.
Yeah.
80.
Fucking brought it.
You don't even need this research. We can just have Mike randomly guess statistics and he'll probably be right.
Or maybe I can manifest things to be true.
Ooh.
I just got to try hard.
You precogged this?
Mm-hmm.
And okay. So 83% of those who identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual keep their orientation hidden from all or most of the people in their lives. So that's how they're defining the closet. They took one of the biggest data samples of sexual minorities, which I didn't know about this. It's the European Union Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Survey, which took place in 2012 of 85,000 sexual minorities in 28 European countries. They were able to find the proportion of those people who said they were in the closet, and then created their own index for all 197 countries around the world. Do you know we had 197 countries? I would think it'd be more.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, how many of them count?
Of all seven countries.
I mean, does it include Liechtenstein? Because, like,
I mean, I assume that when you say all countries, or is the de facto all except Liechtenstein?
I'm just saying there's some that could disappear and we wouldn't really notice for a while.
That's true.
They could go on an Amtrak and we'd find them a week later.
Yeah. Okay, so they took that proportion. Then for each country, they used some of their different laws and stuff to create an index of structural stigma for each place so that they can use that as a multiplier.
Okay.
So that way they came up with estimated 83% who are in the closet, which that's a fucking huge ass closet.
Yeah.
I think people's assumption is always like, oh, it's 2020. We can be, everyone can be out. It's fine. Everything's great. But that's not the case.
I mean, that's a very privileged thought to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But and we're super privileged. We're in the 17%.
Yeah.
And like that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to realize, like, not only is it like in the US, it still doesn't mean it's easy because things have progressed. It's still hard. People are still in the closet. And also, there are countries. They said in this article, there are 2019. I didn't update the numbers. So when this study came out, 8 countries, it's punishable by death. In 72 countries, same-sex sexual activity is criminalized.
Yeah.
On the good side, same-sex marriage is legal in 28 countries and 43 provide protections against hate crimes based on sexual orientation. But yeah, it's still a difficult thing that people have to deal with.
Yeah.
I think what we will talk about a little bit more
when we have our guest
in mere moments is going to be, there's always a negative stigma associated with being in the closet. It is assumed that being in the closet is bad and you should be out, and that is good.
Oh.
Oh.
Depending on what circle you run in.
Oh, wait. Do you have a different opinion? Or
I mean, that's my opinion of people who live here. Mm. Like, they're, if you live in Western Washington and work for a big company, you have, like, come out of the closet, you mook.
Yeah, but the point is...
But if it's for your physical safety... Yes. And there are people, there are places in the United States that I think you, there's even like,
yeah,
a higher level of justification for being in the closet.
Yeah.
But in general, if you can, fucking do it.
But there can be no physical, no external, like, issues with coming out. And maybe it's something that you still need to work through. Like, you know, there's a lot of reasons being in the closet is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, and there's places where it's like, you should, like, do not come out of the closet.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Well, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back with our guest, Kevin Gerdes, who is the host of the podcast LGBT Stories.
LGBT Stories?
Mm-hmm.
Like bedtime stories?
Yep. And the moon says, I want to fuck you tomorrow. In the butt. Aww. All the way home.
I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can.
And the three little piggies squealed with approval.
Mm-hmm. Wee, 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 wee. All over dance face.
Okay.
Should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Break.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can, yeah, that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out, and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it.
Mike, when we started our podcast, there were no other gay podcasts.
Zero.
Zero.
None whatsoever.
We were the very first.
We blazed our own trail. Our own treasure trail. We shaved it.
Just like Harry's blazed their own trail because there were no other razors before they existed.
Right. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry, decided to do something better.
I use Harry's and it gives me a smooth, fresh looking face when I shave around my beard. And I really like their products.
Yeah, I do too. The razors are really, really good. But also I enjoyed the body wash. I think it smells super awesome. I use the fig flavor pretty regularly.
Well, if you want to get in on the action, don't settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 set for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
Yeah, it's a 5-blade razor with a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
That's harrys.com/gayish for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, get it.
Do you remember what it was like when PrEP came out?
I sure do. Yes, it was a big deal because everybody was like, now we don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS anymore, which is pretty huge for the community.
Yeah. Well, imagine that, but for STIs. Imagine a world where STIs are a thing of the past.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep, and that's because it's 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. You don't want any of those. DoxyPep can make them not happen to you.
And DoxyPep from Shameless Care is one of the places you can get a hold of it. They are a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states with one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on their HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of their physicians will prescribe DoxyPep to you. Viola! It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
It is affordable, just $109 a year, and that covers your online evaluation, the medication, and the shipping.
So ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/gayish and take control of your sexual health.
That's shamelesscare.com/gayish. Your liberation is waiting.
Your liberation. So are we back?
We're back.
Is that why you're looking at me?
Yes. Okay. Whenever we're about to record and I'm looking at you, that means I'm waiting for you to start it.
Okay, fine. We're back.
We're here with Kevin, who is the host of LGBT Stories. Thank you for being on, Kevin.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Okay, so we are already started talking about the closet, being in the closet. Kevin, what about you? What's your coming out story?
My story is, well, okay, so I was sort of outed, but through my own doing in a way. So you guys remember MySpace, obviously, right?
Oh, yep.
Yeah, okay.
So I first heard my very first Miley Cyrus song.
Yes. Which one was it? Do you know?
It was She's Just Being Miley, the first big one.
That's probably Hannah Montana.
Never mind. I'll get there.
Whatever. Anyway.
This is the most important thing I'm doing right now.
Okay. So I have three brothers. Two of them are older, about like 4 to 5 years older, right? And when MySpace came out, I was looking for somewhere to, like, you know, just express myself. I was in, I think, 10th grade at the time, maybe 9th grade. I'm not sure. And my friend said, oh, well, there's this new website out called MySpace. So I got on there and I saw that you can put your orientation. And at that time, FYI, I'm gay, everyone. We didn't
clarify that up front.
Clarify that. But at that time, I identified as bisexual, something I think a lot of gay men go through.
Yeah.
And
guilty.
I was like, I'll put what I am. So I put bisexual. But I grew up in a small town in Maryland where everyone knew everyone. And my family was pretty well known because there was a lot of us guys and my cousins. It was just a lot of us. So I couldn't really get away with anything. But my older brothers didn't like this whole social media thing and MySpace. And they were like, you're not allowed to be on here, yada, yada, yada. I was like, well, they're not on it. So they're never going to find out that I'm bisexual. So I put it, well, come to find out, one of their best friends, who is like a brother to me in a way, he's known me since I was a child. He was on MySpace and I guess came across my profile one day and told my brothers that I am bisexual. Well, I get a phone call while I'm at work one day, and I pick up the phone. It's my brother, and he goes, Kevin, Mom knows that you're bisexual. You are to get off of work today, finish your job, get off of work, go straight home, and she is waiting there for you. And I'm like this, like, freaking child, and I'm like this kid, and I'm like freaking out now, like, what do I do? But there's this weird thing in my, like, you just know to just listen and just do what you're told in situations like this in my family. So I go home and my mom is literally in her room sitting on her bed and she's got a Bible.
Oh, no.
And basically the conversation, I can't remember all the conversation, but the gist of it was like, well, you know what the Bible says and there's nothing I can do. Now, my brothers thought that rather than they thought it was like appropriate for them to tell my two aunts, and then my two aunts thought it was appropriate to then go tell my mom because she just had to know this rather than anyone at all coming and saying, Kevin, can we talk to you about this?
Yeah.
It was like this huge chain. You know, so that's why I say I was outed, but in a way, I kind of outed myself because I put the information out there. So I do have some responsibility in this, but
was like a religiously based reaction from your mom, something you could have anticipated? Like, were you a religious family? Was that sort of in step with her normal behavior?
So I grew up Catholic as a child and went through like all of that and First Communion and confirmation and whatnot. And definitely, you know, my mom is from Haiti and, you know, she came here as a child, a young child, but she definitely had a lot of, you know, God was something we talked about and things, you know, it wasn't a mystery to me. I definitely knew that at that time she believed it was a sin. I didn't expect her to have a damn Bible on the bed with her. Like, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, today I am a Christian. I identify as Christian. I go to church every Sunday. I sing at my church. Like, it's a big part of my life, you know. Mm-hmm. And I do think my upbringing played a big role in that.
Catholic church? Do you go to Catholic church?
No, I go to a non-denominational church. Just a very like Jesus-centered, focused, the way of life, the way of Jesus, you know, is we follow his teaching,
yeah,
type of thing.
Yeah.
Back on, you know, you saying like, well, I put the information out there. It's also like, we didn't know, it wasn't as obvious right now of like, if you put it on your Facebook profile, now you know what you're doing. But
yeah,
to put it on MySpace, it's like, what is MySpace? Like, who sees this? Oh, my family doesn't. So like, the internet is brand new. All this stuff is so new that I can understand how you didn't realize that would have.
Absolutely.
It's like, what's the olden day equivalent? You write it down on a parchment with a quill and store it in your personal diary and someone finds it. Like, it's you, like it you didn't, and you didn't intentionally do it.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little naive or immature child at that time. I couldn't have been in, I was like 17 or 18 years old, I don't remember, but like, it was just me being naive and not realizing what I was doing, you know. But at the end of the day, anyone then or now can put whatever they want anywhere that they want, and it is no one's right to share that information with anyone at all. I just don't think it's anyone's right to do that, yeah, you know, especially in something like this.
Is that mitigated at all by how public it is, though?
I definitely think about that too sometimes, but I think when it comes to sexual orientation, something that could not be any less about anyone in my family, my sexual orientation, it doesn't affect them. Like, they should have just come to me and talked to me. And I think, yeah, you know, it goes for anyone in any family. And to answer your question directly, like, I do think that there is a sense of like accountability that we do need to have for ourselves. Because if I put my sexual orientation on Facebook, anyone can have access to that. But I also have the ability to lock my Facebook down,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
through different privacy, you know, things that they offer.
And as we're talking about this, it's like, coming out, I know it's getting younger and younger, like the age at which people come out. And it's a very like adult, mature decision that you have to make. When you might, like, how do I do this? Am I physically safe? Am I emotionally safe? Is my family, like, and what's the best way to approach this? That's like, that's such a huge adult, mature decision, yeah, to try to make when you're a child. Like, of course you're, you not going to do it right. You're like, you're going to fuck it up. You're a kid. You don't know what you're doing.
That is so true. And I actually, when I, as I do my show, I have people that are, I've had more than 12 to 16 year old kids email me. Some of them identify as trans, and they email and they say, your show's the only show that I have like this, and I live in like the middle of America, and my parents are not accepting of anything LGBTQ. Like, should I come out to them?
Yeah.
And I'm like, the first time I ever got an email like that, I was like, I don't want to touch the keyboard.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. So I had a friend who works, so I live in Los Angeles. I had a friend who worked for the Los Angeles LGBTQ Center, and he worked for the youth in the youth division there. He gave me the best advice that I still use today, because this was over 3 years ago. He said, when a kid comes to us and they want to come out of the closet, we always advise them to think about the consequences or the possible consequences of coming out of the closet. Because here in LA, I don't know about, you guys are in Washington, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like there. But here in LA, there are thousands of LGBTQ youth that are homeless, yeah, living on the streets, prostituting themselves to survive because their parents throw them out and they come to Los Angeles. So I tell these kids, like, look, I always start with, like, you are loved just the way you are. I have been there. I know what you're feeling, and it gets a lot better. And then I then let them know, like, think about what could happen if you come out and you don't have a bed to sleep in tomorrow because you made a decision to come out at a young age. And if you know you're going to be safe, well, then take care of yourself. But if you're not sure of that, it's okay to wait.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with waiting to come out until you know you're safe, because coming out of the closet is a wonderful thing. And I think it's often glorified, and it's like, yes, I'm out and we're so proud of you and all of these different things. And it's great. It is a wonderful fucking thing. Like, it's wonderful. But no one is talking about, if you're not ready, you're not ready. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
And I could also see there being some kind of bigger pressure now. Like, why didn't you come out? Everything's fine. Why didn't you come out earlier?
Yeah.
Or yet, like you said, if you have friends that are coming out and you don't, and you wait till college, or you wait till after college and you're an adult, or you, like, maybe stuff happens you don't, like, you didn't realize until an adult. Like, there's so many different reasons that you could not come out until later, and there is some kind of shame that, why didn't I come out earlier? I feel that. I came out at 20 and I'm like, why didn't I wasn't strong enough to come out in high school. Like, there was an out gay kid there. Why didn't I do it? Like, yeah. I could have. It would have sucked.
I don't know. I think that's sad that you feel that way. And when I hear that, because when we were that age, we didn't have what kids are growing up have. Like, no one told us what it was to, no one told me what it was to be gay. I found that shit out, like, online in chat rooms I should not have been in, on AOL. Okay?
Chat rooms and porn were how I learned about gay things. Yeah. As a kid.
Well, when I said chat rooms, I really meant porn.
Okay. Yeah.
Porn that was being sent through chat rooms.
Yeah, for sure.
But we didn't know. We were so, like, no one talked to us about this. Like, they never said anything like that in, like, sex ed and in my schooling, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I had to figure all of this out on my own. So, of course, of course we feel shame, you know, at that time, or scared, even if other people are coming out. Like, our psyches are different. We're different people. And when we start to compare ourselves and say, I have to do it this way, it's like, but I'm not you, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's such a hard thing to remember when you see other people doing things that you're jealous of or you wish you could do, like coming out, and it's like, that is not me. What's best for me? What's right for me? And that's, yeah, a hard thing to keep in mind.
And a very mature thing to do if you can do that and make a decision to wait, you know, it's a very mature thing to do.
Every time you say, know, the decision to wait, it makes me think of a pastor telling kids to wait till marriage to have sex. That's not what we're talking about.
That's not what we're talking about.
I think about Harvey Milk saying everyone needs to be out, like, you should be out. And it's weird. I always had a weird feeling about that, because, like, someone had to be like, people have to come out. People have to start coming out so other people see that they are out people, and that people are real, and they're gay people exist. But it's dangerous to do. So how can you blanket tell everyone, like, you have to come out? It's a tricky, I don't know exactly how to feel about it.
I think that we have to think about the time. Like, again, a very, very different time that he was living in. There was probably a lot more, if you weigh it, a lot more that can be progressed upon if more people were coming out at that time. You know, we needed more representation at that time as, let's just say, even gay people, you know, we needed more representation. So that's a thing first. So, but another thing as well is, during that time, I think there were pressures that were put upon people of all different things, whether it was the economy, sexuality, you know, there were pressures that were put that were just normal. Like, you were told to do certain things during these times in American society. Whereas today we live in a society that is like, I am going to be my autonomous self. And if you think that you can tell me to do anything, you are so wrong, and you're like, you should not exist. So the timing is so different, you know, whereas we don't really, what we, the representation in the LGBTQ community that we probably really need more of right now, I think, is in the bisexual community and the transgender community, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I think too, wasn't Harvey Milk saying that to San Franciscans, right? Like, that was a more or less safe environment, like, comparatively speaking. He wasn't saying everybody, even if you live in Saudi Arabia, needs to come out.
Yeah, right? But back then, like, it's not safe. You would still be, you could still be thrown in jail. You still could be hate crime.
It's being comparatively.
Sure, but that's what I'm saying, like, okay, if now non-comparatively, you're telling people that would be facing real danger by coming out to come out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's how we, as a society, probably have evolved, where we understand that, like, you can't be just commanding everyone to come out of the closet like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on your show, you do stories, LGBT stories, and are they primarily the stories of their coming out, or do they cover other types of topics in their narrative?
There are all kinds of topics. So, yeah, the general story is someone's coming out story, but I've had people who are transgender tell their transitioning stories, you know, from male to female, female to male. I've had a lot of people talk about the intersection of homosexuality and Christianity, or, you know, other sorts of religions. I've had Laganja Estranja from RuPaul's Drag Race on the show, and she talked about her story. One of the guys from Queer Eye, who I don't want to say yet, but one of them has agreed to do the show. One guy, I had a guy from Uganda who was in Uganda, and he talked about what it was like to be gay in Uganda. Mm-hmm, and it was, I was in tears as I was listening to him, because some of the things that he said, like, his mom said to him, you know, so when he was a kid, he would, his mom would let him dress up in girls' clothing in the house. And she said to him, you can't ever tell anyone that I let you do this and that you're gay, because if they find out, they will kill you and they'll kill me. And I just, like, the stuff that's happening around this world is so crazy, you know?
Yeah.
So all kinds of stories, yeah.
The reason I ask, I'm sure that you have quite a catalog to choose from. Sir Ian McKellen, not too long ago, said, you know, everyone should come out. I don't know anybody who came out that regrets it. And so that makes me wonder, that might just be because he doesn't talk to enough people to get that sort of feedback. Like, do you talk to people that regret coming out?
I've never talked to someone who regrets it. No, I haven't. I have talked to people who don't want to come out that have literally told me I am bisexual, or I am gay, or I'm lesbian, and I don't want to come out of the closet. And it wasn't that they don't want to come out because they're scared. It's that they don't want to come out because they don't want to hurt their partner, or they don't want to come out because they just don't want tell anyone. They don't see the need for it.
Yeah.
But I haven't met anyone who's regretted coming out.
It's an interesting, I mean, it's all anecdotal, right? But that says something about the how acceptable it is to pressure people to come out. Like, everybody can do it. Everybody needs to do it on their own time. It's their story to tell. And if they decide never to tell it, that's fine too. And the fact that it seems everybody who finally gets there and does, that they don't regret it. You're pushing people towards a thing that it turns out okay for everybody, as near as we can tell, right?
From what I can see, it is a wonderful thing. I just think that people have to get there on their own time.
I would imagine people would be more likely to not regret coming out, but how, when, why they came out, rather than the act of doing it. Like, maybe if I waited a year later, I would have, you know, already been gone at college, and it would be easier. Maybe if I would wait until I moved to a different city or what have you.
Yeah,
and it's not our job to force people to come out. I think it's important for people of any sort of demographic at all to share our stories, because we never know what someone's story is going to do for someone else. So my show, LGBT Stories, it was started for people who actually are against our community. It was not for people in the community. Hmm. Well, what I found was anti-LGBTQ people are not looking for LGBTQ content for podcasts. They're just not. But the people that were our community. So things sort of shifted into becoming this place where people can come and have resources, you know, and a community to talk to other like-minded people. Mm. So, but I bring that up because I think it goes into this idea of, like, rather than pushing people to tell their stories or to pushing people to come out of the closet, why don't we just share what we have to offer and let God or energy or whatever you believe in or whatever do from there what needs to happen, you know? Hmm. It's not necessarily, in my opinion, our job to change minds. It's our job to share our stories, and whatever comes of that, you know?
I do like the idea of, like, sharing the authentic experience of coming out, good and bad, because I think, Kevin, you, like you said, like, it's often glorified that, you know, coming out, like, that is, like, the stories we see now, everything's perfect. Like, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be perfect when it happens. You're still going to have challenges, and maybe more challenges because you came out, but we're still happy we did it. Like, there, like, if you just make it seem like it's just all good and you should definitely come out because it's going to be great, that's a little bit misleading as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had an opportunity for a local TV station. It was PBS, but there was a local TV station here who wanted to work on adapting my show into a TV show.
Awesome.
And basically, they had said, well, can't we just focus on the good things about coming out and not talk about the difficult things? I looked at this woman because it would have been for kids, you know,
mm-hmm,
that the network gears toward teenagers. And I said to her, but that's not what happens. It's oftentimes very scary, very difficult, a lot of tears. It's not, you know, I'm not going to, and I told him no. I turned down, let's make this into a TV show, because it's like, I'm not going to sit here and tell kids how the experience of coming out is going to be unicorns and rainbows and Ellen DeGeneres 24/7. Like, it's not always that. Some people experience that, you know,
yeah.
But not everyone. You will get there. You will get to the most authentic self that you have ever known, and you will be so happy and probably fall in love and have a wonderful life. You'll probably get there. But the odds of that happening right when you come out is just, the odds are not there. So it's going to take time to get through that, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I was just, I just couldn't believe someone didn't want to talk about that, because it's, I'm like, clearly you need to be educated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What other commonalities have you heard from different people's coming out stories, or just the LGBT people you've had on the show?
One of the biggest ones is how much the church has hurt people who are LGBTQ. And I'm not talking just about Christianity. I'm talking about Mormonism, you know, and other different religions. That is a huge one. I think it's a big issue that I know people who are in the community and are pastors. I know people who are not part of the community and are involved in church and see that there's a major, major problem in the way. Look at the Methodist church, you know, splitting in half because of this, you know.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we are called to do two things in this life: love everyone and be of service. That's it. That's it. No one is meant to be. If you want to be talking about religion, Jesus was a man who cared for the prostitutes, the tax collector, the sinners, the thieves, before he cared for the wealthy. He cared for children. Children during the time of Jesus were more of a burden because they require more to survive, and they had to be taken care of. And during that time, they weren't valued like children are valued today.
Hmm.
And he says it was, you know, the type of person that he went to first. So that's a major one I'm hearing a lot of. And then another thing is just the difficulties that people just having to tell their parents, like some people who come from immigrant families and having to tell their their parent, who is first, you know, not first generation. They were the immigrant who comes over to America, and having to explain to them their orientation. And, you know, we are blessed. We are lucky to live in America. You know, with all of the difficulties that we do have, there are a lot of good things that we do have
Yep.
here in America, because it is in a way easier to tell an American parent that you're gay than some parents from other countries where it's just a different way of life. You know, I think those would be the two biggest commonalities I hear.
Man, coming out to your parents, like, that's, yeah, that's just like a, just so many people can relate to like that feeling. They were like the, like, I came out to a couple friends first, and then mm-hmm. for my family, it was like, okay, I'm going to tell my brother right before I go tell my parents. And even my brother was like, okay, nerve-wracking, but not like, my parents were like the big, like, when I come out to them, that's when I felt like I was out. Like,
yeah.
I was really out.
Yeah.
So when I finally came out, everything's done, everyone knows, whatever. My cousin, I was walking down my stairs at my house, and my cousin had, I guess, just walked in the front door, and I'm like at the end of the stairs at the bottom, and he's standing at the front door, and he goes, "Hey, Kevin, I heard the news," type of thing. And he said, "I think I understand why you were such an angry kid. If you look at pictures of me growing up, I had an angry look on my face at all times. When we were looking through photo books and things like that, as a kid, I always had this like angry, sour look on my face. And even into like my teenage years, I was just an angry kid, or like it wasn't so much like rageful angry. It was just down, you know, depressed in a way. And so my cousin at the, you know, he says, I realized why you were so angry all the time. And I was like, yeah, man. He said, how do you feel? And I said, I feel like the elephant that was sitting on my right shoulder just got up, walked away and didn't say a word to me. And the elephant sitting on my left shoulder got up, walked away and didn't say a word to me. And they never returned. It was one of the shortest and most impactful conversations I probably have ever had in my life. Like realizing that, like, that burden I had been carrying and why I felt the way I felt for so many years of my life, all of my life, like, it was gone. It was just gone. Those two huge elephants, they just didn't say a word, but they just left me. They just left me. And I think there was something in the exchange of him, of us, he and I talking so freely about the fact that Kevin is bisexual at that time, you know? And that it was just so easily talked about was moving in itself at that time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Being able to like have conversations, regular conversations with people about being gay, like with my family now, like when they joke about me being gay, it's in a good way because we joke about everything. So to not joke about it is bad. So it's like when you just get into having like normal conversations and your orientation just might be a part of that, is just like, it feels so good. It's so refreshing.
Totally. Yeah. You know, one thing my mom said to me, after I came out, and at 19, I moved away and, I had a partner for like 2.5 years. And my mom and I were very close. Like, we were very close, but we stopped talking as much for probably 3 years, maybe, after I came out. And I think that, and there were times during that time where I felt her anger about my sexuality that I didn't feel the day she and I had that initial conversation. But one day after, I don't know what it was, but we were talking, like I said, maybe 3 years later. And she said, "Kevin, the best thing that you ever did for me was give me the time without pressuring me to accept you and all of this other stuff, to just accept the situation, you know, And you know, that's another factor too. Like, our parents are not, they did not grow up in our time, you know, like, they process these things a very different way than we process them.
Yeah. It's really hard to remember when you're going through that whole thing too, that like, for them, they're just being hit with this. Like, you as the person coming out to them have probably been thinking about it forever and ruminating on it and stressing out about it and practicing what you're going to say in the context in which you're going to say it. For them, the person on the receiving end of that, it's all happening now. Like, they have not had the benefit of all of that time leading up to this. So
a little bit.
It's okay if they go crazy for a little bit.
I mean,
right?
It's just expect it, honestly.
Yeah.
Just expect the worst and hope for the best.
Yeah. I know that, you know, the idea that, okay, this doesn't affect you at all, this just affects me. I mean, like, yeah, we've talked about that and just in orientation, like, in general, like, why do people care? Like, it doesn't affect them. I mean, with your parents though, like, it does, there are non-immaterial, there are material ways that it does affect them. Like, now if the rest of the community knows, how are they going to treat your parents? That's shitty that you would have to think about that or care about that, but that's a real thing. Their expectations for you, how are those going to change? Not your fault that they had those, but, you know, there are some very real ways that it affects your family and your friends and other people, and you don't have to adjust yourself for
there
that,
was,
but it's helpful to remember.
There was someone on my show just 2 weeks ago, transgender man, who shared that he was adopted and his parents had looked for 11 years for a newborn baby to adopt. It took them 11 years to find someone, and he shares, like, poetically almost, like, about that it was 11 years of thinking, are they going to have a boy or a girl, and 11 years of picking a name, and then when he comes out to them as transgender and says, that name that you thought of for 11 years, you can no longer call me that name, was just like something I hadn't thought about.
Yeah.
You know, we look, coming out often, it is just there's so much to it that we can't sum it up in one sentence, but like, it's like, so what I want to say is, like, we have to think about, this does affect our parents because they had hopes and dreams for us. And yes, like, maybe our parents want us to be doctors and I'm over here doing a podcast. I don't know, but like, it's obviously it's deeper than that, but they're gonna be confronted with things in life that their kids are gonna do that aren't on the path that they wanted. But at least we can have empathy for our parents and understand that this does affect them in some way, may it be emotional or societal or whatever. It's not an excuse for them to not accept who you are, not accept the situation. I'm not making excuses, but I think the biggest issue that we have in our society is that there is so little accountability that we have. Like, people are so entitled in America. It's kind of unreal. But that's a whole nother subject. But we just, like, we got to have accountability for the things we do. If you want to come out, I encourage you to come out, think about it, you know, and when you do, just recognize, like, if your parents are overreacting or getting angry or having a reaction that you didn't expect, how can you be of service to them in that moment and let them know that you're still the same person that they know and probably are, they're going to get to see even better sides of you, you know?
Yeah. So before we let you go, Kevin, if people want to learn more about you, find your material, find your podcast, where should they go? What should they do?
So you can go to our website, which is ourlgbtstories.com, or you can find on Instagram, is basically at our LGBT stories, and Twitter is LGBT stories. I'm still working on Instagram to get the LGBT stories handle because, well, they're tricky to deal with.
Do we need to take somebody out for you? Would that help?
Please. Because, look, the person who hasn't posted since 2016, and, like, Instagram is just being not fun. Twitter was like, all right, it's yours. So working on that. But I always tell people, just go to the website, ourlgbtstories.com, and then I'm honestly more visible on my Instagram, which is Kevin Gerdes. Last name is Gerdes. And then you can find me there. It's easy. Just Google my, you'll find it. It's simple. Or listen to the podcast. How about that?
Yeah.
LGBT stories.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on. Thanks for talking about The Closet. Thanks for talking about your experience.
Yeah, Kevin Gerdes, thank you so very much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a really good conversation. I appreciate it.
So should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Break.
A break. Break a break.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
Are we back?
We're back.
We're back.
We're going to do our gay sinceritas.
We're going to do our gay sinceritas, but first, hey, Kyle.
Hey, Mike.
What did you think of Kevin?
He's great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How old do you think he was?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide if he qualifies as a filiomi or not, and I don't know, but I don't have a good answer for that.
That sounded Polari.
It was the Polari word of the week.
Okay.
I meant to do it earlier, then I forgot, and then...
Here we are.
A feely or filiomi is young.
Oh, okay. That sounded like a sexual, like a...
I'm going to feely him up?
It just sounded like a pedophile, a different word for pedophile.
An omi that feelies? Feely.
How's it spelled?
F-E-E-L-Y, F-E-E-L-E, F-E-E-L-I-E-R, or F-E-L-L-I-A.
Spell it any way that you feel.
Feely.
Feely.
It comes from the Italian filia, which is also young. But it means it's a noun, a young person or a child. And then filiomi is a contraction of that, or smush them together.
Smush them up.
A young man.
Classic smush them up.
An underaged sexual partner.
Ooh.
Derived from a combination of fili and omi.
An underage sexual partner?
Well, let's just forget the creepy part.
Well, it's so hard. That's so difficult, too, in this context.
Yeah.
Okay.
Feely is young.
Feely young.
No matter your age, you're as young as you feely.
Great. Am I going to remember all these Polari words?
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know.
I'll try. Okay.
I already forgot last week. You did it. Did you forget it too?
It's the word for wig, which is...
Something Raya. Fashioned Raya. Fashioned Raya is a wig.
Yeah.
That Filiomi's wearing some Fashioned Raya on RuPaul.
Oh.
Great.
Wait, Filiomi, that's not a young man. That's a underage lover, right?
I don't know. Definition one was a young man. Definition two was an underage sexual partner. So Fili just means young or a young man. Filiomi, the first definition of Filiomi is a young man. The second definition of filiomi is underage sexual partner.
Oh, got it.
Ooh. I don't know.
Okay, so it could go both ways.
That bona bijou omi with the fashioned raya looks feely to me. Anyway, okay, great. Our website is gayishpodcast.com.
All of our social media is at gayishpodcast. It's Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. Yeah. Yeah.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails. It's 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rates apply.
And our email address is gmail@gayishpodcast.com.
We're at P.O. Box 19882, Seattle, Washington, 98109.
Great. Give us a ringle. Give us a jingle.
Give us a ringy dingy.
Give us your Pringles.
Send us some ding dongs.
Send us your dingle. Gayest and straightest.
Let's do a gayest and straightest.
Okay. Mine is, this is based on the apps that I play, my app games. Candy Crush. It's not a gendered, this is how like stupid these things are. It's like not a gendered game, but it's pink and it like that you're doing these like candies in bright colors. And like when I do it, I feel like gay. And if I play it in public, I'm like, fuck all of you and your gender norms. I'm going to play Candy Crush. Yeah. Like, it's just so weird.
Yeah.
And on the counterpoint, my straightest is this game. It's a kind of a similar thing of like match three things, but it's like, but when you match three things, you like attack a monster or you get a shield to defend against a monster. And like it's just the same idea, but the design of the game is like a little bit more like dude and then mask.
Yeah.
So that's my gayest and straightest.
Great.
What about you?
What about me? So the gayest thing about me this week is probably showing everyone that comes over to my place the giant dildo that Joe and Dallas sent us last week. Like, it's just...
Hey, everyone.
it is ridiculous. Redonkulous.
Redonkulous.
And showing everybody is really fun.
Redictongulous.
And then, of course, starts the gayest conversations ever.
What do people ask about that? Like... I mean, I would say my first question would be, have you used it?
Yes, exactly. Is this safe to touch? Because I just come in, like, slap him in the face with a big old
Wait,
dildo.
Did you open it? Yeah. Is it opened?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm keeping mine in. This is like
for posterity? hermetically sealed?
For my own posterity. To save my posterity from getting. No, I just think someday it's going to be like a heirloom.
Tomato?
Like, someday I'm going to eat that like an heirloom tomato.
And then the strangest thing about me this week was, so we're starting the actual makeover of the app makeover episode. So it was going to the barber today and just saying, here, do this. She sent me pictures. Just do this.
It almost feels like my wife told me that this is the haircut I'm getting.
My wife cut this out of People magazine. I'm showing it to you now. Make my hair do this.
Do you want to tell anyone about what you're doing so far? Or do you want to wait for it?
I think I hate it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but whatever.
It's so short. I thought you just did it differently. I didn't know that it was a haircut.
It's a haircut.
I like it.
It's supposed to be like Ryan Reynolds eventually. Because he's like, well, okay, it's going to take more than one haircut to get from where you were to this other place. So this is, I'm in transition, Kyle.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you totally understand what all trans people have gone through.
Yeah. We're basically the same.
You get it. Yep. Let's hear a listener's gayest and straightest.
A listener's gayest and straightest. So this one comes to us from Discord once again. And it is from Danny, who says, you sort of touched on this also, and you didn't even know this was the one I picked. Yep, if you want to. His straightest is playing Zelda Breath of the Wild and feeling like a total badass warrior dude slaying all the monsters in his barbarian armor. The gayest is ogling Link because the barbarian armor is like his sexy skimpy armor.
Oh my god, do you remember, like, video games, he could, like, switch the options and you'd pick, like, the hot guy or you'd, like...
Or in, like, modern video games now, when you can, like, design your own body and stuff, and you, of course, have to take all of their clothes off of them so you can see what they look like naked, and then, you know, adjust, right?
Or I started playing The Sims again on my phone, and the guy I made, Brad Bradford, he's just, like, has a hat, and he's...
Wait, naked except for a hat?
Did The Sims let you get away with everything? He has a hat on his head, hat covering his dick.
Yeah. End of story. End
that's
of
it.
List.
End of list.
Great. Well, that's it. A special thank you to Kevin Gertis for being on our show and talking about The Closet.
Yeah, and we're going to be on his, so look out for that.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make everybody cry.
Yeah.
That means I will have won. that's it. This has been Gayish. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you. See you next week.
Be in the closet. Till next week.